Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the line right now, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. His calls are brought to you by Pennzoil, motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Rick Bucher here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Rick, thank you very much for joining us, man. What a crazy time for the NBA before we get into the specifics of what we brought you on to talk about. Are you leaning any way today towards the league shutting down for the rest of this year that you weren't leaning yesterday? Are we getting closer and closer to saying goodbye to this NBA season almost by the hour by the positive test?
Yeah, I don't know if it's over the last 24 hours that something has changed, but certainly this thing has been moving rapidly. I keep going back to, I was at the Lakers-Nets game when we first had the protocol for media, because keeping players from getting COVID-19 was the key to that, was keeping the media 6 to 8 feet away from every player. And so that was the first time that that was instituted. And I was walking down the hallway with one of the Lakers, because neither he nor I was recognizing the new protocol. And I asked him about playing, not having all these things being put in place, but no thought about not playing. And he said, we're going to be playing, there's a 95% chance we'll be playing in front of empty arenas by the end of this week. And this is like Tuesday night. And I've just witnessed a game with a full arena. Nothing really seemed different other than the media protocol. And I was thinking, that's crazy. There's no way that's going to happen. And then 24 hours later, we're shut down completely. And now, as of today, all facilities, training facilities, are shut down completely. And so I don't know that it's from yesterday to today, but this thing has moved so quickly. I said it earlier today, with Colin Cowherd, that I give it a 60-40 chance that we won't resume this season at this point. And that's sort of been I've come to that by cumulative effect rather than anything that's happened in the last 24.
Who is the owner, and or who are the owners who have to be convinced to cancel the season? Because it won't be a unilateral decision by Adam Silver. I mean, he's going to have to have some owner backing. So who are the guys who are going to be the ones who first say, we can't do this?
It's a tricky answer, because my first inclination is to say Mark Lazary, who is part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, in that a small market team that is set to make a ton of money in the postseason. That said, Mark Lazary also has $20 billion, and not to say that these guys are ever satisfied with what they have, but I would say that it's the small market teams first and foremost. And I would, but I don't know that it's any one owner. I mean, I think every owner looks at it and says, okay, so if we don't play again, what happens to the TV money? Do we have to repay some of that? And I don't have the answer to that yet. But there's going to be a boatload of money lost, and the 10% that they hold in reserve on every player contract that I'm sure they are going to get to keep now, that's not going to cover the shortfall if we're missing out on the remainder of the season, all of the playoffs, summer league, which has become a big bonanza and is part of the basketball revenue or basketball related income. I think all of the owners would love to see a scenario where even if games, and I think it's a foregone conclusion that if we do get back to playing, we're not going to be playing in front of crowds. They're not, and probably not in their normal venues. It's going to be in smaller venues, maybe in practice facilities, but they would play the games just so they would have a way of fulfilling their obligations to their TV partners and to any sponsors that they could add to the equation in those particular venues, maybe even their jersey sponsors, because that's where the real money sits. And that's where the real money potentially is lost.
So let's say circumstances leave them with no choice on that front, and there's just no possibility of resuming this season. We're all locked down till September, let's say. If they don't do anything until next basketball season, what is the ultimate effect of that lost revenue?
Well, that's something that needs to be figured out, because as of now, just the numbers that I've crunched, and I am no mathematician. It's why I went into – that's why I took the job that I did, is that every team would more than likely be in the luxury tax as a result of the salary cap coming down. Now, you're going to make everybody pay the luxury tax? Does it mean that New Orleans and Charlotte, who have never paid the luxury tax and are very fastidious in avoiding it, that now they suddenly not only do teams not get their cut out of the teams that are paying the tax, but like where does that go? How do you rearrange that? I mean, all of that is to be determined and would have to be figured out. But for me, that's the biggest issue here, is that there's this huge drop off. The way the economics work in the league would be completely turned on its head, and they'd have to come to a resolution on, like, how do we fix this so that, like, the dynamics of it. And so then what are we paying free agents? And is Anthony Davis going to take a hit if he opts out of his deal and signs another max deal? Because that's based on a percentage of the salary cap. So to me, that would be the biggest ramification would be it's not business as usual, because it would be business very unusual.
Rick Bucher here on 95.7 The Game, host of the Bucher and Friends podcast, a senior writer for Bleacher Report. You see him on FS1. And Rick, you know, you wrote your column basically saying that GMs are concerned that idle time is not exactly what some young players need looking to, you know, craft professional careers. They might not be pros yet, and getting out of the structure that is being an NBA player is something that GMs are concerned about. I'd love you to address that. And then at what point are we at the point of no return? How many weeks off in a row would be unsustainable to come back from, in your estimation?
Yeah, all great questions. I would say this, first and foremost, in every conversation I've had with every GM, with every scout, with every person connected to the NBA, when I've asked questions about, you know, when are we going to play? When do you think we're going to play? Are we going to play? How does this work? And they've all said they're all trying to wrap their heads around the safety of their families and their loved ones and everybody involved. It's almost like they're not looking past the fact that we're dealing with something that threatens all of us. And for a good period of time, up until like the last few days, I would say that was first and foremost in everybody's minds, because they're, you know, most of them are scattering. Most of them have gone to their off-season homes and are hunkering down with their families, GMs and front office personnel alike. All that said, if we're not back, if we can't play, actually, the difficulty is if the league's not resumed by June, maybe the latest July, I don't see how it doesn't interrupt next season. unless they make the determination that they want to move the season, as some people have suggested. Now, that is a revolutionary thing. I know a lot of people like the idea of playing from December to August because people don't pay attention to the league until Christmas anyway, in most cases, or the mainstream fan, and that there are some dead periods in the current sports calendar that the NBA could occupy. It's an enticing thought, but it also means if you go that direction, then you're staying in that direction. And so there's a lot of thought that's going to have to go into that before they do that. Honestly, when I look at it, maybe 60-40, I said 60-40, they're not going to play again. When you really begin to add it up and the impact on next season and the way the timeline looks right now, it may have to be higher. Maybe it should be 70-30, 80-20, because unless you're willing to change next season dramatically in terms of your start time, I don't see how you start the playoffs any later than, honestly, the beginning of June. And I just don't see that as a realistic possibility at this point.
You answered earlier who the owners were who would make the call. Has there already been discussion about a drop dead date? Or are they really just going to go seat of the pants and then one day they're going to meet and go, yeah, we're going to announce tomorrow? I mean, is there a set date that people are talking about that says, this is the day we're going to have to make an announcement one way or the other?
Yeah, I haven't heard that, largely because this is such a unique situation. And to answer, you know, Damon's other question about GMs being concerned about guys, you know, getting out of shape, it's not so much guys getting out of shape. It's just the reality of it, because even unlike a labor stoppage, there was usually, you kind of knew when you might get back to playing or there would be a drop dead date. And so guys might not be working, might not stay in tip top shape. They kind of knew they couldn't go, you know, Sean Kemp on us. And yet you've seen plenty of careers, even in the labor lockouts, rookies that came in were seriously, their careers were undermined by having that disruption. It's just a reality of the situation. They, like, not only do you not have your team facilities, you don't have any facilities. You're suddenly stuck with whatever it is that you have at home. And I know a lot of people out there think these guys all have gyms in their houses. Don't be misled by the Chris Paul insurance commercials. Not every guy has a spot, has a setup like that. So there's suddenly quite a number of, I'd say at least half of the league.
Wait, not everyone has their own court. Not every broadcaster has a golden microphone. Are you sure about this, Rick?
Yeah. You know, it says rumor has it. So, to the question about a drop dead date, Ray's question. Because this is what makes this so unique and so difficult for the NBA and all professional sports, but particularly the NBA, because they're at this pivot point in their season, is that forces outside of the league are really dictating how things go. So how the World Health Organization and how the CDC and how the federal government decide that we should handle the coronavirus going forward is going to have a huge impact on the decision-making by Adam Silver and the owners. The NBA has been progressive and was the first out there to say we're going to shut things down, and they've been very proactive, but they've been doing it in part because they had a team, you know, the Warriors didn't have a choice. Local ordinance was, you guys have to shut it down, and same with Sacramento. And so then it became, you know, health authorities across the country saying, hey, these facilities being open is really not a good idea, even under the advisement. I don't know if you guys know this, but having them open wasn't really like a huge advantage, because they could only have one player and one coach at one basket. Like Orlando, for example, they scheduled it so they would have two players on the court with two coaches at opposite ends of the floor. One guy was in the weight room. And then when they were done, they left. They sanitized all the equipment, and then you could bring another three guys in. And so it was, and you could only do, it was, you know, essentially skill work with the coach. So it's not as if these guys were getting real work in anyway. And that's where we are. And now it's even less than that, which as we have this conversation, the more, you know, I add things together, I'm like, there's no way in hell we're going to restart this season.
So you've convinced yourself during your own interview.
I've gone from 60-40 to, listen to this guy telling us all this stuff. Wait a minute, that's me. Listen to me saying all this stuff. What's the reality that if we go for 2 months like this, I mean, we're starting over. And then would you really want to have a playoffs if this is the starting gun, if this is a new starting gun, whether it's June 1st or July 1st, is that how you want to go into the playoffs where teams and players are scrambling to get in shape and get back together? And would you recognize that as a real champion anyway? And what would be the risk of injury if you did it? So I know everybody right now is very committed on every side to getting back to playing. Fans want it. The players want it. Owners, go down the line. But I just feel as if, you know, a month, 6 weeks from now, we're going to be facing a different reality. And I don't know if that commitment is going to be quite the same.
You know, I hadn't thought of this till you just sort of said June or July playoffs, but what about the draft then? Because you couldn't have a draft in the middle of playoffs where teams want to trade a guy on their roster. Like, you know, we've traded the 24th pick and player X, but he will still be playoff eligible. How would that work?
Yeah, the draft and everything will be moved back. Even the dates on contracts and when you have to, you know, determine whether you're opting in or opting out. I've been
the trade exception rule for the Warriors, yeah, I think, too.
Yeah, all of that will be slid back. That actually might be the easiest part. And how the draft itself will function, I mean, we're going to get a good glimpse of that with the NFL draft coming up, because they're going to have to do it in a virtual sense. Now, the advantage they have is that those workouts have been completed. That's the difficulty with the NBA, is that, and I'm going to write a piece about this at some point, but, you know, the good part is that they have all the time in the world now to watch all the tape that they want on every player anywhere. The downside is that you're not going to have any of the in-person interviews or the personal workouts, and it's not so much those workouts or even the combine. I had one GM tell me, he goes, I could live without the combine, the NBA combine. It's a matter of sitting down and talking to the kid that is a huge piece of the puzzle that they're not going to be able to get.
Wrapping up with Rick Bucher here on 95.7 The Game. Have you heard any more details about the Lakers who tested positive? How many tests were actually issued? How many players? I mean, I'm guessing if we're testing Lakers, there's no way we could not test LeBron or Anthony Davis, right? I mean, it's just, that's how it works. They're first in line. So what is there, like a chance, 1 in 15 for sure that it's LeBron? If they test only 9 players, it's 1 out of 9? Or, you know, I mean, what are we looking at?
Yeah, no. I to answer your question, I do not know who among the Lakers tested positive. I would fully expect that they are testing. I mean, you almost have to test everyone. And that's also, you know, an element here, again, which makes this virus kind of unique and only adds to the difficulty of even the idea of playing an exhibition game, is that you're going to have to retest everybody, because it's not as if you get the virus, you develop an immunity, and you can't get it again.
Right.
At any point in which when the NBA comes back to play, if they decide to come back in June or July, they're going to have to test every single person who is going to be involved in any way, and that would probably include media as well. If we're, I mean, I was when it was the 50 number, I was immediately like adding up all the people that you could have at an event, and I was like, okay, so we got 30 players, and we got three referees. That's 33. You got the scores table. I think there's about five. That's 38.
You got it. Right. I mean, do you want to count everyone sitting courtside? I mean, we're counting the scores table, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, ultimately, well, everybody who has a function there, for sure. Yeah. You got the coaching staff. I mean, you get to 50 really quick, which again is why, if they do play these, games, more than likely it would be in a practice facility, or it would be in a very small venue, just so you could minimize the number of people that you needed to actually functionally operate the game.
Rick Bucher here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you very much, Rick. It was great catching up with you. Appreciate you stopping by.
My pleasure. Wish I had better things, like more optimistic things to talk about, but it's where we are.
No doubt. And we wanted to catch up with where we are, not what we hope. We got a lot from you. Thank you very much. Rick Bucher, Insider Calls, by the way, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made of natural gas. The proof is in Pennzoil. You can hear Rick on Scal and Pals, an NBA broadcast featuring Rick, Brian Scalabrine, Kendrick Perkins, and more, out now on radio.com, the radio.com app. Search Scal wherever you find your podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.